The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday on the Junks. We're brought to you by Krupp Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to KruppMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We'll be joined by Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. That's coming up at 7:20. But right now it's time to hit the skins. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case there's skins hitting. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you, yes, you, great.
Love Don't Sleep.
Love it.
Yesterday, I had to sleep. Took a two-hour nap.
Very good.
I mean, I was dead.
It's rock solid.
And I do think part of it contributed the fact that D. Smith was in here serving us tequila at 9 in the morning. That does make you a little sleepy.
Full disclosure, it was very nice of him to bring that bottle in, and he gave us each what I thought was a tad more than just a sip.
Yeah.
I had one sip.
And you were done.
And I had to throw away good alcohol, which pains me to do.
Wow.
But I couldn't even drink that healthy sip that he poured.
Dude, I went to a brewery the other day where I had 8% beer.
Yeah,
that's pretty high, right?
That's getting up there, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of beers are like 4.5%, 5%, 5.5%. Like, you get the 8s or the 10s, then you're up there with the big boys.
You're going to laugh at me, but I've been to probably maybe less than a half dozen breweries in my life. I'm just not a beer connoisseur.
It's all good. There's no judgment over here.
Well, I don't know the routine, but at this one, you get a little credit card, and then they have all the
taps.
The taps. Yeah. And you just go in there, put your credit card in there, and then you just
You self-serve.
Yeah, self-serve.
I've never done that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All I was doing was just looking on it based on alcohol content. And I was like, well, I don't want that wimpy 4%. Well, give me the 8%.
Well, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You're Rom.
That's what he does.
That's Rom's bit. The last time I hung out with him at MGM, he brought a six-pack of pumpkin beers. I think I've told this story already. Brought a six-pack to pregame with. I drank two in the first, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. And I was like, these are 10%, okay? Yeah. These
that
pack
sounds like
a punch,
lot.
Okay? So I said to him, I said, two is plenty. We don't need to finish the six-pack. And you know how Rom is. He's uber annoying, and
he's also got OCD.
He's very insistent. He's like, no, we have to finish the six-pack before we go to dinner.
Yeah.
So
you were hammered at
dinner. I had the third 10% pumpkin beer in about an hour and 10-minute span, and I almost heaved at dinner. I came this close to having to run out of the restaurant and run straight into the bathroom.
Right. 10% is big.
10% is no joke, but 8% is
about 8%
will hit you.
That's pretty
serious.
I had
one.
Yeah.
At one 8%.
That'll set you up good. an 8%er.
Anyway, so we talked about the deal with Noah Brown out with a lacerated kidney. It's a sad, too bad. He'll be fine, but it's just, too bad. I think he, had quite an impact on
us. I'm assuming you just let that, again, I have no idea. I'm asking a question. Don't crucify me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for a lacerated kidney? Do you just rest?
Probably
and
just
it,
time.
It recuperates on its own? It, regenerates? Probably.
I would assume it just heals
Dr.
itself.
Dr. EB says, you got to just let it heal.
Just rest is the...
I don't know if you need surgery for that.
I don't know.
So I would just assume you just need rest.
Got to make sure you got to monitor, make sure there's not
gonna,
a ton of blood
go
in
rest.
Your urine.
I'm going to go with rest.
Okay.
Could be totally wrong, though.
Right.
But obviously, huge game coming up against the Saints. As we always talk about it every year, as the season progresses, every game gets significantly bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1 p.m. Kickoff cakes at the Caesars Superdome. That's what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Fox. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at the latest odds, the Commanders are 7-point favorites. I believe, as we talked about it, they started as about 3-point favorites, something like that, 4-point, and then it's gone up to 7. With the quarterback uncertainty, I think.
With Carr being out?
I think so.
That makes sense. I see 7.5 on FanDuel right here.
The Commanders, obviously, it's a huge game for them. Coming off a bye week, I think a lot of us, they're a little skittish. I love the offense when we're clicking, but I'm a little bit nervous. How are they going to respond to the bye week? I watched a little of DQ's presser as I was driving in this morning, and he kind of alluded right away to... We're trying to get the energy of these guys, get them ready, get them fired up coming off this bye week. I don't know.
It's really important to come back on Monday and start that process so you can throw a hell of a practice today. If you had waited all the way till today, I think that's what you are vulnerable to. So when we came back, we wanted calls and communication and catching and all the movements that you need to play. And so that's where we started it Monday. And the good news was that the team came back energized, and ready to do that, to see one another. And so that's, if you don't have that day, that makes it much harder to recapture what you want in the speed today. So I was pleased that we were able to capture that on Monday.
So, yeah, obviously the coaching staff aware they don't want that sort of letdown that we had against Dallas after the 10 days in between. So let's see if they can handle that. Now, the good news is, as we mentioned, listen, Derek Carr is no world beater, but, he's a competent NFL quarterback, no doubt. He's had moments in this league. He's had seasons in this league. But when you're facing a guy like Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler, they don't have near the experience.
Right.
And we should be on the right side of this one.
And it looks like we'll know on Friday whether they're facing Haener or Rattler.
Or Rattler, right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you just look at them sort of head-to-head, the Saints are 5-8. We're 8-5. They're, they're not dreadful offensively with Carr there. They're scoring 22 points per game, Cakes. 22 point per three. Defensively, they're only giving up 22. So they're right there.
That's true, but going back
same
to the
as
offensive
what we're
numbers,
doing.
To the offensive numbers, I'm guessing that's heavily weighted by what they did in their first 2 weeks, where I believe they scored 90 points
around
against Carolina and Dallas. Now, they've lost a lot of offensive personnel since then. They've lost Rashid Shaheed. They've lost Taysom Hill. They've lost Chris Olave. I mean, I think that number is a little bit deceptive because they put up big points early, and it's been a bleed ever since.
And especially if they have a backup quarterback, because it'd be even lower than that.
Right, yeah.
Remember when they scored 13 against the Chiefs, they scored 10 against the Broncos, they scored eight against the Chargers. They scored 14 against the Rams. So they had a 7-game losing streak. Now, Carr was out for some of those games, but their offense dipped considerably.
For you fantasy dorks, I think the Commanders' defense, if they're available, are a great play this week.
Really?
Well, because they should be able to get after whatever quarterback is back there.
Yeah.
And maybe force some turnovers. Should get a decent number of sacks, I would think.
All right.
And they were fortunate last week because they were up 14-11 and Graham Gano was kicking a short game tying field goal to send it in overtime, but it was blocked.
Right.
So it was kind of a walk off for the Saints, but they only scored 14. After Carr got hurt, they scored 14 against the Giants on the road. So they don't have a ton of weapons offensively.
Yeah,
besides Kamara.
To put things in context, so they with Kamara there, they do rank in the top 10 in rushing offense. Okay, they average 128 yards per game. To put it in context, Washington, though, superior. Mm-hmm. We're 156 yards per game. That's good enough for third in the league. So as good as they are running the football, we're significantly better. I think you make that argument. Passing-wise, they're fairly similar. They're passing about 212 yards per game, again, with Carr under center. The Jaden-led Commanders averaging 220 yards per game passing. They give up more yards than we do defensively. They give up 380 per game. We give up 327.
And I think the Saints would like to be more pass-heavy than what they are, but being down Shaheed and Olave just limits them.
Right. When you look at the history, they always put out sort of the history of the matchup. The last time they played, let me see. First of all, the history, the Commanders... New Orleans has 11-17 record against Washington. So we're up 17-11 cakes. 11 of the 28 games between the Saints and Washington has been decided by 7 points or less. The last time they played, it's so funny, I don't remember this. It was a Hail Mary touchdown, a 72-yard bomb for a score. Do you remember that, cakes?
What year was that?
This was in 2021. So was this Breeze. Like, was this the year where they had nobody in the stands? Maybe that's why I don't remember.
Possibly. Try to remember that game. I'd have to go back and look.
So that was
the biggest impact they're saying was
COVID year would have been 2020.
2020
was that still Drew Brees?
Yes,
I think so. It says their punter pinned Washington. We were called the Washington football team at the time at the 2 yard line with a 53 yarder, and then Taylor threw a second interception, and then there was a Hail Mary, a 72-yard bomb for a score.
Hmm.
I don't know. My brain is mush. I don't remember it, Cakes.
I don't remember that ending. It sounds like a wild ending, but I don't remember it.
33-32.
I have no file on
it. Oh, you know what? Breeze did not play in that game. It was Jameis Winston.
Oh, it was Jameis.
Oh, Jameis.
Yeah, so.
Who did he sling it to for the winner?
In that game, let's see. Yeah, it wasn't a Hail Mary. They won the game 33-22.
I don't know, dude. I'm just reading what it says.
Maybe there was a Hail Mary in the game.
Maybe
that wasn't for the winner.
Yeah.
Maybe that was at the end of the first half. Here it is. Jameis Winston hit Parkey on a 49-yarder with no time left. End of the first half. That was the put them up 20-13. But they won the game by 11.
So Lattimore is trending in the right direction, Cakes. The play on Sunday, I saw DQ talked about how he is a full participant in practice. He also mentioned Andrew Wiley, Cakes, full participant in practice, so expect him back. The four-time Pro Bowl cornerback, barring any unforeseen setbacks, should be set to make his debut against his former team 6 weeks since they traded him. What kind of impact, Cakes, do you think he will have? And who do you think will maybe see less time because of it?
I think you should see an immediate impact. I mean, it's a Pro Bowl corner that you're adding to your roster. I mean, that should bump St. Juice down to the second corner. He probably stays outside, maybe move Sanders still into the slot where he's more natural fit, even though I know the team likes what he's done covering outside wide receivers. It's a good, great impact he's going to have.
Should. He's been out a while. I wonder if he's going to start or if he's just going to be in certain packages.
That's a good question.
I mean, if he's 100% healthy, I'm starting him. I'm
starting his ass.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been waiting for like a month.
He's been in all the meetings. You know, he's been
a full participant.
Full participant.
For full participation.
So he's been practicing, been running. So I would assume he does start.
Well, I think we'll. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he brings. I have no idea. I'm not going to make any grand proclamations, Cakes. I don't know. But certainly, I think you could safely say it makes the defense a little bit better. And I'll give the defense credit. Said it a lot over the last 6 or 7 weeks. When we started the season, it looked like we had a historically bad defense.
Oh, it looked dreadful.
And they have made strides. So the Lattimore addition is big.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk more NFL with Odyssey's NFL insider, Baldy. Brian Baldinger will join us next here on The Fan.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Holidays are approaching. The Fan's merch shop is open for all of your holiday shopping. Go to 1067thefanshop.com for our selection of men's and women's shirts and hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. You can order right now for holiday delivery. The perfect gift is at 1067thefanshop.com. I believe we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Good morning, Baldy. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I mean, is it week 15 already?
I know, it's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. Shocking that it's here.
No, I mean, I just, you know, every year it just seems like it goes fast. I mean, I started this year in Brazil, down in São Paulo for that Eagles-Packers game. It just seems like it was last week to me.
Right, right. It goes by so quickly.
We're 13 days from Christmas, Baldy.
Yeah, I mean, totally with you.
It's incredible.
So I'm looking at my Christmas tree going, what's that doing in here? I can't even figure it out right now.
I know, it's bizarre. Yeah. Also, what's bizarre is Bill Belichick going and coaching UNC, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but because I've seen what your prediction is, why don't you tell the radio listeners and our audience what you think Belichick is going to do in his first year at Chapel Hill?
Well, you know, I'm an old Dukie. I went to Duke, and so, you know, Chapel Hill is 8 miles away. That's our rival.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're never going to beat that school as long as Bill Belichick's there. Not just that, but, you know, he's going to win the ACC next year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can take it to the bank right now. I just watched that game with Clemson the other night. And it was awesome. I mean, it was a great game. And I love Dabo Sweeney. But Bill Belichick's in town. Like, those kids, I don't know how he's going to set this up. He's been at, you know, I work at NFL Films, and he's on the second floor. I'm on the third floor. He's been there every day. And I know he's been studying everything, the college game, the NFL game. And I just feel like he's going to recruit like Nick Saban's recruiting. And he's going to get those kids, those 18-year-old kids, or the transfers. He goes, if you want to get to the NFL, if that's your dream, this is what you need to do. And this is the fundamentals. This is the toolbox you need. This is the way you have to develop yourself. This is the commitment. Like, I think he's going to be great. And I think he's, you know, the one thing about coaching, whether it's at the NFL level or college, whatever, is like you're basically teachers. You know, anybody that's been around him, he's a great teacher. And football requires that. And I could see him having Saban in there or Mac, you know, just bringing great college coaches. Josh McDaniels be down there with Doug Marone. You know, like I could just see these guys all wanting to go work with him down there.
How often have you talked to him?
You know, it's not that much, honestly. Oh, yeah. He like stays in his little bubble, you know, with his film room. And, you know, he's filming a lot of stuff inside the NFL with Ryan Clark and the guys, Chris Long. So he's doing a lot of his stuff, but you see him in the lunchroom, the cafeteria, you know, they don't allow him to pay for anything. And it bugs him. Like, he's such a regular. He knows everybody by name. He comes in there, he gets his salad, he likes his Thousand Island dressing. You know, it's never there. So, you know, like they can't believe like he's such a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's cool.
What I love about it, Baldy, is that I just love when guys just don't go with the narrative, and everyone's like, oh, it's an NFL guy.
Of course, he's
going to want to break the record. And so I have no idea if he's going to win or lose. I probably would bet against it just because Carolina's had a struggle, but I like your position that, no, he's going to go in there, and he's going to win right away.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, what's funny about what you just said was, I think at Fox last week, like, Brady, Gronk, and Edelman were all on with the pregame show guys, Menapee and, you know, Howie Long and everything. They were asking about, what do you think about this rumor about, they all just shot the whole rumor down. Like,
right.
There's no way he's going to college. I'm like, I was thinking my whole time going, well, I mean, the Giant job is going to might open. The Jet job is open. He doesn't want to. There's no way he's going to the Jets. And I was just, you just go through it, and they're not going to hire him. I think he saw that. He was like, but you know, a coach wants to coach.
Right.
And I don't think he cared one single thing about Don Shula's record.
Right.
Like, I don't think that motive got him out of bed one single day. And that's what everybody was saying. I'm like, I think 6 Super Bowl rings and what he did and accomplished in New England is enough.
I think
he's going to get his sons, both his boys, you know, coach. They go have them on the staff. And I think he went to University of Washington where one of his sons was coaching this year. I think he was up there during, you know, the summer and training camp and all that stuff. And I think he really liked the atmosphere of it.
Now, I should know this, forget, because we've had him on the show a million times, and I always knew that Lombardi worked for him, but I thought he was more of a front office guy. I didn't know he was like, he coached under him too. Could you give me a little background on Lombardi and how he fits in with this?
Well, he didn't coach with him.
Okay.
He was on his staff.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, I'm sorry. He was in Cleveland with Bill, all right? I don't know if Mike was coaching in Cleveland. I think he was still... He was just starting out, like he was in personnel,
right?
And that's where they got to really know. It was him, Jim Schwartz. You go back and look up all the coaches that were there,
right?
Phil Savage, I think, might have been there at that time. He's running the Jets now. Like, there was a pretty good list of guys that were on that staff when Belichick was coaching Cleveland. Of course, it all blew up, when Cleveland moved back to Baltimore. But he had 1 year. They went to the playoffs. 1 year they. They kind of faltered, but that's where those two guys became really close. In fact, Mike's in NFL Films. I think he's there every Tuesday. He's doing stuff with Bill there. He's always been in touch with him.
Right.
All right, Baldy, what's your thoughts on tonight's game? You know, the Rams started off, 1-4 because they had key injuries, and, you know, Stafford couldn't throw the ball to anybody because Kupp and Puka were out. Now they're back, and they've won 6 of 8. All right. So, and then a huge win, obviously, against one of the best teams in the league last week, 44-42 over Buffalo. This is a huge game because in the NFC West, all 4 teams are separated by 2 games. So, kind of an elimination game for the Niners, who are on their 4th running back. And they've had so many injuries. Trent Williams isn't going to play. Bosa's not going to play. Debo has been non-existent. But Shanahan does have success over McVay, but this is a totally different team now because they're healthy, and the Rams really are obviously chasing the Seahawks. Well, what are your thoughts on tonight's game in San Francisco?
Yeah, well, when San Francisco was owning the Rams, they were just so much more physical than the Rams. If they had Garendo, they might. I don't know who's playing. Patrick Taylor, I'm not sure who's playing running back for them. They signed Izzy Abanaconda from the Jets a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm not sure who they're going to play at running back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, watching the Rams offense last week, it's interesting when you watch them every week because they have such basic concepts. They throw this – they take Puka in motion across the formation, and they just throw a little hitch throw to him on the outside, and he picks up blockers, and it's gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
He beat the Saints 2 weeks ago on that play. They basically shut the door on Buffalo last week on that play. They're really good at certain concepts. And the timing routes with Puka and Cooper Kupp are like second and none in this league. And when Stafford's throwing the ball like that, if you're not getting to him and hitting him, he's going to carve you up. And that's what he did to Buffalo last week. I think it's going to be a tough game for the 49ers. The Rams had a second-half surge last year, and I feel like they made some adjustments on the offense line. They got a rookie playing center in Bo Lemmer. He's played really well. And I think those young kids on the defense line, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and Kobe Turner and these guys, they just keep getting – they play the game the right way. They keep getting better and better. I feel like they've got more talent right now than San Francisco.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So, Baldy, I'm on your Twitter, at BaldyNFL, and you have a clip of Brian Bresee, who's been a real bright spot for the Saints as the Commanders take on the Saints coming out of the bye week. And, man, what a just freak athlete he is. The clip is of him jumping in the gap between the center and the left guard and blocking Graham Gano's field goal. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I saw that dude play in person once in high school, and you could just tell, yeah. like, that dude is a monster. He proved it at Clemson. He's proving it now in New Orleans. And he's had some adversity in his personal life. His sister died of cancer a few years ago. He's a guy you can root for.
Commanders
fans won't be rooting for him over the weekend, but he's really making an impact there.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, you'll see him. He wears number 90. And, you know, that play, I see Myles Garrett do that. But Myles Garrett is basically, you know, Superman, you know, in a cape, you know, and what he could do. But I didn't know Brazee, like, because you can't touch anybody. Because that's called leverage.
Right.
So you help elevate yourself. He had to just jump. And what he did, he had to jump twice. So he jumped over the guard, landed on his right foot, and then jumped again to block, like a triple jump, then to block the field goal. Like, it's just an amazing – and it's interesting because the head coach in New Orleans now is the special teams coach, elevated after, you know, they fired Dennis Scott. So he – you know, Darren Rizzi is – you know, I'm sure that was a play that he put in. He recognized all the athletes they had, and that was the one – because that kick, there was a 35-yard field goal. That was going to tie the game and send it to overtime. Mm-hmm. So that was just a great individual play. They've won three out of five games since Darren took over. He's a good coach, really good coach. You know, a lot like how John Harbaugh took over in Baltimore as a long-time special team coach. Some of these guys have the ability to coach because special team coaches have to touch and deal with all 53 players on the team. So they connect in a way that a lot of other coaches don't.
All right, guys, we can't have you on and not touch on the Commanders. Big game against the Saints. You know the deal, coming off the bye, blah, blah, blah. No Carr probably, right? How last time they had a significant break, there was kind of a dud against the Cowboys. How do they ensure, I know the coaching staff's aware of it, they kind of talked about it, how do you ensure when you come off of a bye that you don't look down at like a 5-8 team and lay another egg?
Especially with the Eagles coming to town next week, right? Where you know, you might think, okay, Jake Haener, is he playing quarterback? What can he do? I think you just I think Dan will have this team pretty focused. I really do. I think, you know, last time I saw him play was against Tennessee, and Tennessee didn't look like they wanted to be there. Like, it was pretty embarrassing performance on their part. They're a better team than that, but they ran them. They destroyed them. So, I mean, I think they're really fueled by the run game. I think I hear people, not everybody, but people are like, Cliff Kingsbury, he can't coach down the stretch. He can't coach a team to the playoffs. Like, I think they're going to run the ball really well this weekend. I saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run for 250 yards against them a few weeks ago. Like, I think they're going to run the ball well. And I think defensively, I think Dan knows how to get after a quarterback. I think if Jake Haener plays, it might be his first NFL start. I'm not positive about that. But I think it might be his first start. I think he knows how to make basically rookie quarterbacks, inexperienced quarterbacks, let's say. I think he knows how to make life difficult for him.
There are a lot of big games with playoff implications. I mean, you already mentioned it. We've got four games left. You know, the Packers-Seahawks game is huge. The Bucks-Chargers game is pretty big. The Cardinals have lost three straight, and they're playing at home against the Pats. They have to win, or they're probably done. The two games that are interesting are the Bills-Lions-Steelers-Eagles, because the Eagles are clearly chasing the Lions for that one seed. And if the Bills go into Detroit and win and Philly beats the Steelers, they're essentially tied. Give me your thoughts on some of these huge matchups and which ones are really interesting to you.
Well, I think, you know, Buffalo obviously got into a shootout, and Josh Allen did it all just to keep it within a couple points last week. I mean, we all watched it. It was amazing. You know, but Detroit, like, they're a machine right now in offense. Defensively, they're pretty beat up and broken down, and they're playing guys. Obviously, you better do your homework to know who some of these guys playing defense are for the Lions. I mean, they're signing guys off. They signed Jamal Adams off the street. And, you know, he was playing in the game like 4 days later last week. So, but I think offensively, they are very, very good. I think Buffalo's going to have a hard time against the run game. Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And I think that's going to be the difference. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're just a well-oiled machine on offense. I think it's going to bother the Bills. So I think no matter what Josh Allen does, I think Detroit's going to keep rolling.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. This game is in Philadelphia. It's interesting. not that I get caught up in stats over, you know, the course of 50 years, but the last time the Steelers came to Philadelphia and won was in 1965.
Wow.
So now that, you know, obviously none of these guys were part of many of these games, you know, but like they've had great success against Pittsburgh. And I think they will. Like this whole A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts thing blew up. And the best way to just sort of put it to rest is just throw the ball down the field to A.J. Brown early. And that's what they did the last time they beat Pittsburgh in Philly two years ago. Jalen threw three touchdown passes to A.J. Brown. So I think that's kind of how that game is going to go. Pittsburgh lives off turnovers. Honestly, their offense kind of puts you to sleep. They're not really very good, but they get so many short fields, and Russell Wilson doesn't turn it over. That's kind of been their magic formula. There's one other game I'm going to be at. I think the Chargers and the Bucs are going to be a great game this week on Sunday at SoFi, because both teams are really fighting for playoff spots. And if Tampa goes and wins, they're basically going to win the NFC South, I believe.
Right.
And if the Chargers win, you know, they could beat out Denver. They play next week for Denver for that second playoff spot, you know, to the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's three straight games in a row that are going to be really interesting to watch.
Hey, Baldy, if before the season I came to you and said, you want to place a wager on Sam Darnold touchdown passes for the year, and I gave you the number 27.5, I'm going to guess you would have taken the under, since his high in his career was 19. He already has 28, and there's still a month left in the season. He's going to have like 35 touchdowns for the Vikings.
I saw him last week, and I saw him 2 weeks in a row now. I saw him against Arizona and last week against Atlanta. He's just to say that he's in his zone, I mean, he threw five last week. He could have thrown more, honestly. But it's the Sam Darnold that we all thought he could have been when he came out of the draft. But if you go to the Jets and the Carolina and just two bad organizations, you could get caught up in all that. But he loves Kevin O'Connell. He loves playing in Minnesota. He loves the team. It's a really well-built team. So they lead the league in interceptions. So he's getting the ball back a bunch. If he came to me in the preseason, I'd say, no, I think that's too high. But now that he's doing it, I mean, nobody's talking about Minnesota, and they love it that nobody's talking about them, because they don't want anybody. They want to kind of sneak up on people. They played Detroit in a few weeks. That might decide that division right now.
All right, Baldy, enjoy your trip out west. You're going to be in L.A., correct?
Yep.
All right, man. Have a great trip.
On Saturday morning. I can't wait.
Awesome. Have nice. A great trip, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Right. Thank you, Baldy. Appreciate
you it. Guys. Yep. Yep. Take care, guys.
Yep, you too. Yeah.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Don't forget, in just over 20 minutes, Dave Richard will join us. He'll give you the Week 15 fantasy football lineup advice that you desperately need.
Can we come back and talk about the woman that had sex with 100 dudes in one day?
Sure.
Sure.
You want to do that?
I mean, that's kind of wacky, but sure.
And wait till you hear what her plan is next.
Oh, she has plans after that?
Oh, yeah. She's going to top it and then some.
Okay, so we'll talk about that next. Dave Richard coming up at 8. For those of you still in the fantasy football playoffs, Dave Richard's going to join us at 8. He'll give you that lineup advice you need to try to advance in the playoffs and hopefully win your fantasy football league. It's coming up at 8 a.m., so that's right around the corner. Get those questions ready and prepared.
I got a big game starting tonight. Got some questions about tonight's game and personnel, and who should I start?
I'm sure you do.
Do I play Debo, who's been a big zero this year?
I drafted him in one of my important leagues, and he's just a dud-a-rama.
He's been awful.
He's, like, unplayable.
I know. And I thought he was going to have a big year.
It's shocking, actually.
After Ayuk got hurt, I thought he was going to have a big year.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway. It
didn't materialize.
So, Mr. Bickle, what's going on with this chick that banging everybody in town?
All right, so her name is Lily Phillips. You can Google her. I know you like to do that, Jason.
I will.
She's 23. She's an OnlyFans model from Derbyshire, Cakes. How do you say that? We're at Derbyshire.
Definitely in England. I don't know how. Derbyshire. I don't know how it's pronounced. I couldn't tell
And, of course, obviously it's a bit. You know, you're trying to create some excitement for your OnlyFans, make some dough. There's somebody doing a documentary where they're chronicling the experience of her. You can actually, I believe, watch it at some point if it's not up there yet on YouTube. It's called I Slept with 100 Men in One Day.
That's quite a title. That title kind of grabs you.
And the media is kind of grabbing onto the fact that she's sobbing in these interviews. So I have to say, obviously, I see a headline like that. Woman's going to sleep with 100 guys in a day. That's titillating to me. Let me see what's going on here. I watched a little of it. And basically, she doesn't even really seem to have sort of any regrets about it. What I gathered from what I saw, my impression could be wrong.
Yeah.
Was that she was upset that she wasn't able to give the guys the time they felt like they were getting, like she was letting her fans down. Because she said some of the guys complained that they were going to get 5 minutes each.
Okay.
And some of them only got like 2 minutes. Do you have audio? Is
that like when they'd kind of be like, oh, like we've only had 2 minutes or 3 minutes and you said five on the message.
Did someone say that to you?
Yeah. And obviously it just makes it feel so bad.
I mean, are these guys looking at their watch like while this is ongoing? What? Like, how is this? Like, how does this play out? Like, are guys really like 2 minutes in, and then they get the tap on the shoulder for I guess the next guy coming?
Is there a chance she's just lying about it all just to have the views?
No, they have it documented. They have a documentary team there, like
so that you can see it.
Well, I think she's putting it on her OnlyFans. Like, you could buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the video.
Okay. I don't think
the
it's
video
a joke.
You can
you don't think so.
No. Purchase. But
here's the kicker. She wants to break the world record, which is staggering. It's like, she's going to sleep with 1,000 in a day.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, how's
that possible? Well,
first of all... Somebody did over 900. I don't have the number in front of me.
It's gross. Isn't that the first thing that jumps to your mind?
Of course.
Like,
of
course. It's just gross.
Can you imagine the type of guy that's signing up for that?
They're all tested. They're all that. So you're not getting any, you know, assuming that all that stuff works, you're not getting any sexually transmitted diseases or anything, but you're just getting plowed 1,000 times. I mean,
you imagine being guy like 995?
Okay, I did see someone tweet the other day, as a fantasy football punishment, if you come in last, you have to sign up and request to be number 1,000. High stakes.
I would much rather either go into McDonald's and have to eat like an Egg McMuffin for every hour that for 24 hours, or for each one I eat, I get to leave an hour early.
Yeah.
Or I'd much rather take like a sex doll out on a date than have to do that punishment.
There's a woman in Poland who in 2004 had sex with 919 dudes. Mm. So she wants to she wants to destroy the record.
What? Go for 1,000. 920.
So can you imagine?
Why is she going another 81?
I know. Just go 920.
Nice round number.
Yeah. I can guess. You imagine, though, if you're kind of to your point, Valdez, the line of 1,000 losers that are outside the arena?
You fill out that application.
Oh. I mean, oh my God.
What is the timing like for that? You know what I'm saying?
Like, hey, Mark, can you figure that out? Yeah, 1,000 divided by 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then divided by 60 minutes.
How many guys in a minute? Or
How does that even work? How many minutes are there in it? I mean, she's got to get breaks. I mean, she's got to eat.
Yeah, that's true.
there's so many things I could say that I can't say.
So 24 hours divided by 1,000 is 86.4 seconds.
What?
So one every 86 seconds?
No, that's not correct.
Can't be right.
She would have to sleep with 41 guys an hour.
I think those Zins have eaten your brain.
Yeah. That gives her no break time. So 41 guys an hour is basically a minute in 0.25. Like, it's, 1.25. So you get about 85 seconds, maybe-ish.
Not even. You got to mount the next guy.
Are they just in a line? Just
hey, you want to hear her,
like an assembly
you want to hear her, like, describe the, like how she, like, is bringing in all these dudes?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I want to hear the
Lily then walked us through the process that she had repeated 100 times that day.
Come on in, make yourself at home, take your shoes off. I've got some hangers here if you want to put your coat up.
Nice.
Come on in, where are you travel from today? Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's so nice to meet you. I'll get you on the bed, make yourself comfortable, take off your trousers, and we're going to have a fun time. And I'll give them the phone camera. I'll just say, I'm guessing you don't want your face in it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, it'll be POV, phone camera.
Yeah.
I'll start usually with... And then I'd say, like, is there anything you like, don't like, any certain position you want to do?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we kind of got straight into it.
Did you do the condom on?
No, I did them. Condom off.
Okay, and then, but then, like, once they're having sex, and it's like,
yeah,
condom on type thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What do you think? What do you think the parents are thinking?
I know what those guys are having for lunch.
I thought I read her just like her. Yeah, Mar said her mom's her manager.
Oh,
she's like finance. Her finance manager.
What a loser!
Just bizarre, man.
But I just double checked my math.
Yeah,
1,400 minutes in a day. So it kind of does check out to 86.4 seconds. Okay, so that Maryland education across the table.
We were attacking him.
All right, hold on. So there's four. Say that again. There's 1,400 minutes in a day.
1,440.
Okay, and so.
If there was 1,000 dudes in 24 hours, it does come out to 86.4 seconds.
Right. This is about so what we said. We actually came up with that. Yeah. You're right, though. Sorry for attacking you.
It's all good.
Because we came up with 1.2560.
So one in every minute and a half, essentially.
It's got to be under a minute and a half or you ain't going to get there.
Yeah. I mean, do they just all of a sudden the buzzer goes off?
I put it this way. Yeah, I don't think they all get to finish their race.
They don't. No, of course they don't.
Yeah. Now, a guy like Mar, he might, but.
I mean, Mar just recovered from us attacking him, and then he's.
But I mean, I think most guys, most normal guys, you're basically, it's a quick walk in the park, you know, and a quick stroll to get your newspaper. That's really what it is. You're going out there, you're grabbing your paper, you're coming inside, and then next.
What about you? Got to be you got to have the fluffer ready.
Oh, you got to be prepared.
You need no time.
I mean, I'm sure that's all been accounted for. To go? Yeah, I mean,
I think a lot of people dispute that whole.
a lot of people.
Maybe that's from a bygone era.
But you don't have time to get
right. Understood. Oh. I think in this instance there would be that.
Can you imagine the smell of that room?
No.
Must be hideous.
No.
Just, you know, she's not popular with the other sex workers on.
She's not popular.
No, they're all upset at her because she's putting it out there that if you subscribe to her an OnlyFans, you get to sleep with the girl. And so all the other OnlyFans women out there are bitter because
she's upping the game.
Yeah, guys. Well, they just a lot of the OnlyFans girls just want to put out pictures and videos. Right. They don't want to be sleeping with their.
Fans.
Well, with their fans.
I mean,
yeah.
I can kind of understand that.
Listen, I'm on her side, though. I mean, she's going the extra mile. I mean, like, they can be upset all they want.
She's trying harder.
Yeah, she's trying. She's willing to go the extra mile. She's putting in the reps. So
she wants to make the cash.
You know, those other girls are just.
I mean,
sorry.
What she's
sorry,
doing,
not sorry.
For what she's doing and going through. She should make like
she deserves a
$400 million on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Like she should be by far the biggest earner on that platform.
I don't care if everyone on OnlyFans hates her. There's nothing wrong with what she, like, obviously morally it's corrupt and it's a horrible thing, but it's her right. She's going to one up you. She's just offering a better service.
I think in the lead up to this, the guy putting on the documentary asked her if she was worried about getting HIV.
Right.
She said, is that where that comes from?
You're kidding.
Yes. No. She had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she might want to read up on that.
Yeah.
She might want to bone up on that.
No pun intended.
Dude, you know how, this is just a side story, but you know how Drabby has said in years past, now our new listeners don't know this, but in years past, like decades ago, Drab would say that he doesn't believe in like STDs and it's a myth, mm-hmm. right? That's fine. I like it.
I
like that opinion. I like that you have a different opinion. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a story yesterday that a quarter of the population has the hurting herpes.
Oh.
Okay,
1 in 5 globally has genital herpes.
And now the number was it like? Now it didn't make sense. How many people are there in the world? 5 billion or something?
No, more than that.
Like almost 8 billion.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they said was the number they cited was 864 million.
Okay, that's about 10%.
Well, they said it was 25%. They said it was 1 in 4, so I don't know how they got that. Maybe there's some, you know, who knows? Maybe in developed countries. I don't know. But 864 million, 1 in 4. That means one of you creeps, for sure, probably two of you.
Yeah. You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the
just waiting for you to say it's Mar. I mean, Mar's about to take his third bullet of this segment.
I doubt Mar.
About these.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody was a candidate.
Yeah. I was a good candidate.
Yeah. Roger.
Definitely are.
Yeah. Roger the Dodger.
You know, Roger.
Yeah, what do you think about
spent
that?
Spent a lot of time in Asia.
What do you think about that, Herbie? All right, we come back, we're not going to talk more about herpes. We're going to talk about fantasy football because it's an important week. Week 15 is here. Dave Richard from CBS Sports. He'll answer all of your lineup questions next.